Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this time together, for all of us. And Lord, we ask for your guidance tonight. We ask for your Holy Spirit's leading, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you place the Word of God in our hearts to a point that we will not veer to the left or to the right from it. And Father, we thank you that tonight's going to be a special night, Lord, because you're leading it. And we thank you for the testimonies and the praise reports, Lord. And we thank you for the disciples that you've brought into this conference call. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests tonight? Let's see here. I'm going to mute Linda. Okay. All right, anybody got any prayer requests or would like to pray for somebody?
Yeah, I do.
All right, Gail.
Yeah. I've been poisoned with some pesticides from out in the garden where I live. And I'd appreciate prayers.
Okay, all right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know that we're not under the curse because we have Jesus living inside of us, Lord. You told us in Colossians that we're not under the curse. We don't have to worry about that. In the name of Jesus, right now, we cast down all effects of the pesticide, herbicide, or whatever it is that's trying to come against Gail in Jesus' name, and we nullify any effects of it. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that her body is cleansed of any kind of harmful poison. In the name of Jesus, Father. And we thank you that she is healed. You believe that, Gail?
I'm healed. Thank you.
Amen, girl. You're healed. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Mike. This is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I had a little heat stress over the weekend, and my chest is feeling a little funny yesterday. I was hoping you could pray for me that I don't have any ill effects and my heart is healed and everything is good.
Amen. Well, Father, you heard Mike. Lord, we come against it, the enemy that's trying to tell him he's had a heat stroke or any other kind of stroke or any other kind of problems. And we nullify any kind of effects that he's trying to bring on Mike right now. In Jesus' name, we command every organ in his body, every muscle, every cell in his body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Mike is healed. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, hey, Tim.
Am I unmuted?
You are now.
Hey, how you doing, man?
All right. Doing okay.
I'm just bringing up my computer, so I'll be on in a minute.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Jackie. I got you.
Hey, brother. Oh, did you? Okay, that's what I was. I just got home from the hospital, so I was just going to pray. But if everybody could just agree with a prayer that I prayed for my brother. He's in the hospital, and they told him that he has 3 blocked arteries and needs open heart surgery on Friday. But I also have a test made. So if you just agree in Jesus' name, I prayed for salvation. His name is Kenny. And I prayed for the Father to have mercy and grace on his life and to draw him to him. And I've been praying this for most of my family, as you know. But I also told him, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what they say, you know, God is a merciful God, and he's a healer, and he doesn't understand most of the healing stuff, and I'm not even real sure he's interested, but I said, you know, they can open you up, you know, God can perform a miracle before you even need the operation, or, you know, I've heard of, you know, them opening people up and saying, oh, well, that wasn't bad. There was, like, nothing wrong. So I told him that's my prayer, and that's what I'm believing for. And I don't think his belief isn't with me, but I have a testimony because when I was leaving, he said, I was cussing at you last night. And I was like, what do you mean, brother? And he's like, I was in bed and he was in a lot of pain, and he said the remote for the TV fell on the floor and it went to a Christian channel and they were praying, and he said, and I couldn't reach off the bed, and I said, ain't God amazing? And he's like, and I was so mad at you. He's like, and I was like, why, brother? And he's like, because you're always praying. And I thought she probably made the prayer come. And I was like, no. I said, do you want to stop and think? Maybe the Father's trying to draw you to him. I said, he's answering my prayers. And he just looked at me, and I, you know, gave him a kiss and a hug and said a little prayer for him tonight when I left. And I said, you know, that was an awesome testimony. I said, I hope it happens again tonight.
Amen. So,
I was just happy because he said it was on for like a good hour. He couldn't reach down and get the remote, and like they were just praying, you know. I think he said it was the 700 Club or something, but I thought the Lord, you know, is getting his attention because he put him in that place, and then you know, he caused a Christian, you know, even if it's apostate, at least they were praying, you know, and my brother had no other choice but to lay there and listen to it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I know that's a miracle.
Amen. Well, sometimes we just have to start out in the sandbox, don't we?
Yeah, amen.
Lord puts us in hope. And Father, we just thank you that Kenny's going to be saved, healed, and delivered, Father. And we just believe we're standing with Jackie on this, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Because I wasn't sure how to pray because I got a little discouraged. I'll confess that. Because when the doctor came back in after the procedure, I happened to be there because he wanted me there so I could listen to what they were saying so I could explain it a little bit better to him. And excuse me, I'm trying to make my words be few so I'm not speaking any word curses, but I'm also trying to be weak to the weak and, you know, have encouragement for him. But I didn't understand. I'm like, Father, I don't understand. Like, I believed, you know, everything was going to be okay. I didn't confess it out loud to my family because they don't understand, but I believed, and I'm like, but I don't understand why that, you know, why he got such a bad report. Like, but I also understand that the Father has to take us all to a place where he needs to take us to before we cry out to him, and I don't know if that's what he's doing or if, you know, I just got discouraged in my faith because I thought maybe my faith is wavering.
Yeah, well,
maybe,
you know,
my faith wasn't strong enough.
You know, we've talked about this before, you know, about not believing what the natural eye and the natural ear hears and sees. But we just believe what the Word of God says. You've prayed the prayer of faith, and then you're believing. And if you're believing, you're in the rest of God, because it don't make any difference what's going on around you. You've already prayed the prayer of faith for Kenny. He is saved, delivered, and set free. In the name of Jesus. And whatever the doctor says, you can say in your mind, I don't receive that. I don't receive that. It's not true, because God is God. And I prayed the prayer of faith for him, and he's going to be saved, and he's going to be delivered. He's going to be healed in Jesus' name. And we just have to understand and know that we don't know what God's working in his mind. You know, he might be saying one thing and believing something else, because God, you know, can do that. He can, you know, he can turn him in a heartbeat. He turned Paul in a heartbeat, didn't he?
Amen. That's, yeah, I was praying that over him, and I, you know, when I pray to the Father, I even, there's lots of, you know, all the brothers in Christ that I have, you know, came out of something, and I mean, somewhere, you know, have really awesome testimonies where, you know, they were in a lot of sin, and the Lord just changed their heart in an instant, and like, they're on fire for the Lord now, and I was like, I'm believing that for my brother, my natural brother.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the prayer and the encouragement, because I forget that sometime. Like, you know, I don't think I left the rest, but I got discouraged. I was like, Lord, I don't understand. But then I forgot you're right, because I prayed the prayer of agreement. So
amen.
It's done, and I just rest. And I do have another testimony that goes along with this. Excuse me, my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, I was at the store, I think yesterday or the day before, and I picked up it was my one sister's birthday, so I picked up a book on comfort and encouragement Bible verses that's written kind of simply, and you can look them up by, like, you know, certain things that you're going through, and I thought it might help encourage her. And then had a lot of encouragement written in it, and I thought, well, I'm going to get an extra one. And I was like, Lord, I don't know. So I'm like, Father, should I get this? And I felt like he was saying, get it, and I'll tell you who to give it to. And I put it on my kitchen counter, and it's been here yesterday. And then when my sister-in-law asked me this morning if I would, you know, go with her to the hospital and stay, and I said, sure, you know. And then when my brother got the report, you know, I brought her home, and, you know, and I hugged her, and I was trying to speak faith into her and encouragement, and she's not quite yet saved either. And then I moved the book, and I was like, oh, wait. So then I handed it to her, and I was like, this is from the Lord. And I told her the testimony. I was like, I was at the store, and he told me, go ahead and get another one, and, you know, just set it there, and he'll tell me who to give it to. And I said, I guess now I know. And, like, it touched her heart so much. And I was like, isn't it awesome that the Father preordained this so that you would have a comforting, loving thought from him, knowing he's in control, before your husband even went to the hospital. He had this taken care of. So when I was telling it to her, she really was, her faith just, like, leaped, you know. She was just, like, she was weeping because she couldn't believe how much God loved her. So I just praise God for that, because that was really awesome. Thank you, Father. So I have to share.
Hey, Michael, you might be muted. But I was going to say to Jackie, you know, Jackie, the Lord knows what your brother needs. And if he was cussing you out because the Christian channel came on, he's not quite to that point of weakness where he's going to, you know, be calling out to the Lord. And the Lord needs to bring him to that place. And, you know, so he can save him. Yeah. So, you know, the Lord knows what he needs. And sounds like he's a little stubborn. And he's going to bring him in that place. You just got to keep believing. And we're going to agree with you.
I have another testimony. Thank you for the agreement. I sent him a prayer. The Lord gave me a beautiful prayer about, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago. And I texted it. You know, I felt led to text it to my, I have two sisters and two brothers. My one sister doesn't text at all. So I sent it to my one sister and my two brothers. And I didn't hear from my sister. And my other brother I heard from and said amen. And he's saved. And then this brother that's in the hospital, I sent it to him. And he sent a text back and said, please don't send me this stuff anymore. Because I don't have time for it. And I was, like, shocked. And I was like, wow, okay. And I prayed before I sent it. So I was like, Lord, I know you led me to send it. And so I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed that whole day. And I'm lifting him up, and I asked the Lord to just turn his heart, you know, like the water courses. And I'm like, Lord, just turn him, you know. And then about 8 or 9 hours later, and I didn't know what to reply back to him, so I prayed. And about an hour later, I just said, okay, brother, I said, you know, I'm sorry, and that's what I wrote. And then about 8 or 9 hours later, he texted me, and he said, no problem, he said, but I was at work, and my text goes off often, you know, through his work, and if his cell's going off, and he said it was getting on my nerves. It's very frustrating. And he said, I'm sorry. And he said, I didn't mean that. And I was like, wow, praise the Lord. Like, he was softening his heart that whole time I was lifting him up. And then I said, I texted back. I said, that's okay, brother. I said, you know, the Lord gave me that beautiful prayer. And I said, you know, I was led to share it with you and, you know, with Randy, my other brother, and my two sisters. And then I didn't hear from him until this episode happened. So I do believe the Lord's working on him, because, you know, I was just so grateful, because I was like, Lord, like, instantly, like, when he said, please don't send me this, I was, like, crying. I was like, Lord, it hurts my heart that nobody wants, you know, to be with you. But then I had to, like, rethink that, like, if the Father's not drawing him, then he won't have that love and desire and passion in his heart. And that's what I was praying for. And the Lord answered my prayer at the end of that day, because, you know, he texted back an apology and an explanation of why, you know, it wasn't that he was, rejecting the Lord. It was like he was in the world and just frustrated and, you know, didn't know how to handle, handle the stress and stuff. So I praise God for that too, because I thought, this is awesome, Lord. Like, that was a quick answer to my prayer. So this might all be, like you said, Tim, all being run together, you know, for the Father's purpose to break them. I just, you know, I just pray for strength to be able to handle it. Because it, when you see people you love hurt so much, it hurts.
Yep, that's true. I think we all have people that are not saved, and either that or they're in an apostate religion, but we pray, and we just believe, and we just hang in there, because we know God's working in their life. It may not look like anything is happening, but if we prayed the prayer of faith, see, that's how God does these things. He's not going to do it on his own. He's going to do it on our prayers and our faith. And he gives us the faith to believe. And so it's all in his hands. And so that's what we have to do. We just have to throw it in the tank. All right, God, I'm going to submit him to you, and I'm believing. From this point on, I am not going to back up. I'm not going to give in to this natural, what I see in the natural or what I hear in the natural. I'm going to believe you. You know, and that's what we do. That's what our race is. That's our bearing fruit right there. Mm-hmm. And bearing the fruit of Christ in our life. But we have to have faith in order to do any of this stuff that God wants us to do. Amen. That's a good testimony, Jackie. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. I'll just keep resting, because I was that way, and, you know, in front of my brother and my sister-in-law, like, you know, the Lord gave me all the strength, you know, to be able to stand for them and not, you know, I was just real calm, and, like, it was like what they were saying, I, you know, to them it appeared, yeah. You know, and I was, like, not receiving it in my mind, but then after I got, you know, I guess the enemy was trying to open a door of discouragement, but praise the Lord, it's closed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. It's good to rest. It's good to rest in his.
Yes,
amen. And I think the Lord's working on both ends, because he's like working on my end to make sure I stay in the rest and I believe and stand on his promises, like that I don't waver. So it's like building me up. It, like my brother's trial is building me up, and I praise him for that, because then I can grow more.
Amen. We all can. That's right. Praise God.
Amen. Well, I'll be giving a good report soon, so Ian's all wait for it.
Amen.
We already have it, but I'll be confessing it.
There you go. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, everybody. I love you.
Love you. All right, anybody else? Got a testimony or a praise report or need prayer? All right.
Hello?
Hey, Wade.
Hey. I can see that what you were saying is the right way, not to circumvent the law. I wanted to pray for my wife's shoulders, her left and right shoulder. She's not in the room right now, but her shoulders are not level, and she's been having pain throughout both her shoulders. I'm having her carry her purse on her other arm, that other than the arm she's been carrying it with all the time recently, to change arms. If that'll do any good, but it's become a major pain in her life, and I thought maybe y'all could pray with me for her healing.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead, brother.
In Jesus' name, Lord, Christ, I pray for my wife Jeanette's shoulders, Lord, that in your name she would be healed, Lord, and we thank you for giving us authority to pray in your name, and empowering us to speak your word, and to see those things done that you would have us do, Lord. Amen.
Amen. We command that pain to go out of her shoulder right now, in Jesus' name. You go, in the name of Jesus. We command any kind of a problem in that shoulder to be healed, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Jeanette is completely healed, in Jesus' name. She doesn't have to worry about that pain anymore. And Father, we praise you for her healing in Jesus' name. Right?
Thank you, Jesus.
That's right, Wade. Thank you, Father. All right. Anything else, brother?
No, just thank you for cutting to the quick and telling me what I knew something was wrong. You pointed it out really quick.
All right.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to write them a letter and send it to them, get it to them, and let that be that, and pray that it doesn't destroy our friendships. Both of them have come to the Lord pretty much with my praying, but they didn't go where I wanted them to go. They went to a Baptist church, a Holy Spirit Baptist church, a black church. But anyways, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Well, I'd like to pray and have y'all believe with me. I want to pray for our family that's not saved. And we'll all agree together that God's doing a work in them. Father, I lift up every one of our siblings and our children and our children's children. And Lord, we thank you for receiving our prayers over these many years for family members. And Lord, we just know that you're doing a work in their lives. Sometimes, Lord, we get a little bit anxious when you're doing a work in them. But Lord, I just ask that you settle our fears because you're the one in charge. And if you're in charge, the doctor's not in charge, you're in charge, Lord. And we just thank you that you're going to bring, and even the authorities aren't in charge, Lord. If, you know, I've got an incarcerated grandson, Lord. I don't worry about that a bit in the world because he's right where he needs to be, because that's where you've got him at, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to save him. You're going to save all of the other people in the conference call, the fellowship here. The people that they've been praying for, Lord, we're just believing. We put our faith together for each one that we prayed for. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring them into the kingdom, whatever it takes. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Lord, we just thank you that you're going to grant repentance to them, draw them to you in a mighty way, and grant repentance to them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And put the fear of God all over them, Lord. Rape them in the fear of God so that they would turn and cry out to you, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Does everybody believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Me too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You, hey, Cheryl.
Hello. I want to praise the Lord for they were saying, predicting horrible rains and flooding, and I just confess to my stepfather and everybody here that I'm not accepting it, and I'm rebuking it, and just praising the Lord that he's showing them that. And, you know, as I stand in faith, you know, that the Lord will answer our prayers. So I want to give God the glory for giving me the boldness to speak faith and speak against the things that that we can speak against and be a witness to his word.
Amen. That's right, Cheryl. I tell you what, there's been many a time that we've prayed, thunderstorms around, tornadoes around, or dissipated, snowstorms. We've prayed those out of here. So, yes, ma'am, you've got the authority to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe with the Lord that you're going to, that thing is going to go around them, and they're not going to get any more rain until they need it, in Jesus' name. Makes no difference what their chemtrails and all that stuff is doing up there. She's prayed the prayer of faith, and Lord, they're not going to get it. In Jesus' name. Thank
Amen.
You.
Hey, Michael?
Yes?
That your fan, I think, is still oscillating there over to your voice every once in a while, and it's all garbled. So I just thought I'd let you know that.
Okay, otherwise, well, I forgot to do what Tim suggested that I do, and that's restart my computer. I didn't do that. I forgot. I'm going to have to put me a big old note right there in front of this thing to do that.
It's hard to say anything, but every once in a while it just gets, you know, it's hard to understand what you're saying.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Michael. Hey, Michael. It's Brandy. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Brandy. What's going on?
I was just up here with Kurt. Listening. God bless y'all. Thank you.
You too, brother. Got any testimonies y'all would like to share?
Give me a few minutes. I'll come back, get back to you. Thank you, sir.
All right, brother. That's fine. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, we'd like to pray for our sister-in-law. We prayed for her several months ago. She has cancer, and she was, you know, kind of depending on the chemo and all that stuff, but I think they've told her now there really isn't much they can do for her. And we give her some of the things of David's teachings, real good news and stuff. And she's been reading that. She said she's going to read it over again. I think she kind of had trouble understanding it when she was not feeling good on chemo there. But I'd like to pray for her. And I have a praise report, too. I don't know if you watch the weather, but Nebraska's been getting really just really heavy rains and tornadoes and stuff. And we usually, this time of the year, we get those just usually that first week in June or from Memorial on, we just get huge rains and stuff. And we haven't had any of that this year. We just had nice rains. It's all went around kind of on all sides of us, and we've just had nice rains. And I just like to praise the Lord for that, because those heavy rains are really doing a lot of damage to our crops and gardens and everything. And I just lift up our sister-in-law, Arvis, to you, Lord. We know she hasn't paid a lot of attention to you through her life, but we know now she's in a place where she's paying attention, Lord, and you have her attention. And we just ask, Lord, that you give her the grace to receive truth and to stand on those promises that are in your word. And we just come against that spirit of cancer, and we command it to go in Jesus' name. You can't be there. We're not under the curse, so you have no authority over us. And we just thank you, Lord, for giving us that authority, and we thank you for what you're going to do with Arvis. And we're just seeing her as completely healed, believing by faith for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We believe with you, Marlon. So you got a testimony?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Well, about the, I meant about the rain, getting the nice rains,
okay.
And not getting the big floods. That's what I meant.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Lord,
hey, Michael.
Hey, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to kind of give an update on my trial.
Okay.
I kind of shared last week a little bit, basically what happened was I received something from the realtor. We've been trying to sell this property, and you know, it's just kind of a bad deal, and I was really fighting getting pulled into my flesh and that, and you know, that's kind of what I shared last week. So I told the realtor that I just didn't think it was a good deal, and the time frame was too long, and the amortization was too long, and it was all in the buyer's favor, and you know, I just wasn't gonna enter into it. So right after that, he came back with a proposal that, I mean, you know, they put more money down and they cut the time in half, and they increased or they shortened the amortization, so a monthly payment was going to be more, and it was, you know, so I kind of sat there and spent a lot of time just, you know, looking at it, studying it, and, you know, just, and I really felt it was probably the best deal that I was going to get, and I was ready to, you know, call them and, you know, let them know that, you know, we're going to go ahead with it. And, you know, I was just kind of fighting that, but I just, it really wasn't what I wanted, and so I decided to throw out a fleece and ask the Lord if I was to go with this, you know, this contract, and the Lord said no. And right there, when he said no, I was like, it was a love-hate. You know, I was like, I was trying to be obedient to the Lord. But it was like, this has been such a long trial. And I don't know, you know, if anything else is going to come back by better than this. Because I just wanted to sell the property outright. And this was actually, you know, entering into a five-year, like, land contract. And so I had to stand in obedience, but it was a real trial for me. And right after that, I mean, I just got hit with, you know, a tax payment came in the mail, and you know, I found out that, you know, I was just kind of struggling with this thing, and, you know, it was a pretty big tax payment because there was a penalty on it because I never received the previous, you know, bill. And so I'm just kind of in this fight, and then I get a text from the tenant, and it's a picture of the ceiling fell in the kitchen, and I'm kind of dealing with all this stuff, and, you know, then the Lord tells me no, and it was like I was like on this roller coaster, just trying to stay in the rest and getting into my flesh and fighting back into my rest and praying and forgiving you know, I finally, you know, got myself back into the rest, and I just had to get my eyes on the Lord and just know that He's in control, He's sovereign, He's taking care of this. So I threw out another fleece. I asked the Lord, I said, are you going to sell this house? You know, because this has been going on for 4 years, and I got a yes. And I said, Lord, I need a confirmation. And by faith, I opened up and got a word, and, you know, the word was just, you know, basically saying that this trial is almost over, and, you know, that He, you know, and the whole word was that He brought this on, it's almost over, that I need to, you know, just hold strong. So in my heart, I knew what I needed to do, and I needed to get the tenant who's in the house out of there. I mean, it was something that I was told to do in the spring, and, you know, now we're coming into summer, and I was just kind of waiting, because this whole deal would have been a real easy thing to say, okay, the property is sold, you need to get out, but the Lord didn't want that. He wanted me to address what He told me before, and I was kind of hesitant, you know, because I was getting pulled into my emotions as far as where's he going to go, what about his kids, you know, all this stuff. And I just knew that, you know, it was, you know, the Lord had showed me it was time. And I couldn't be led by my emotions. I had to be led by the Lord. So I ended up, you know, right after I told the realtor I'm not going with this deal, next thing I called up the, you know, my tenant in there. And he's a brother in the Lord, or calls himself a brother in the Lord. And I just told him outright. I said, you know, this is coming down. I need you out of there. And he says, when do you need me out? And I told him by next weekend. And he was like, okay, I'll be out by next weekend. So it was just, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting, give me a month, give me a couple of weeks. And because I really needed to, you know, I've got some other things coming up, and I really needed to get, you know, get down there. So I knew I needed to go there. And part of the trial was I didn't want to fall into unforgiveness or judgment or that towards my brother, you know, that, and that's what happened the last time I went up to Ohio. And part of this deal was I wanted this whole thing to go through so I didn't have to, you know, deal with it. I didn't have to clean up his mess or anything like that, because I was fighting getting into condemnation. Why didn't I kick him out earlier, or, you know, whatever it is. And so it was just a tough trial for me, but I just had to walk in what the Lord was showing me. And I called him up. Because the other thing I knew is I'd sent some paperwork in, and the city was going to be setting up an inspection, and I knew that they were going to come back with a bunch of, you know, citations that weren't addressed the year before. And so I knew I had to get up there and take care of these situations. And, you know, one of them was the city wanted the house painted because the house was, you know, peeling on, you know, basically two sides. And so I got up the next morning, I made some phone calls, and I had some painters go out there, and, you know, one painter came back, and, you know, it was like $3,000 to paint, you know, two sides, and $5,000 to paint the whole house. And I'm thinking, man, it's just more money. And so I prayed and asked the Lord for favor, and the next painter that went out there says, you know what? You only need to paint the one side and the upper part of the front. He says, everything else I can touch up and just paint, you know, paint some of the trim around the windows. And he came back with a price of $7,550. And I said, $7,550? You know, and he says, no, $755. And I was like, praise you, Lord. You know, it was just, I just saw favor in that. And I knew that, you know, it was like, I just saw favor in that, favor with getting a tenant out of there. And I knew I had to go up there, and there's a bunch of work that has to be done. And I called up Brandy, you know, another brother in the Lord who, you know, knows how to do construction like me. I says, hey, brother, you know, you want to go to Ohio, take a road trip? And he says, sure. You know, so, I mean, that was just, you know, awesome. And so I just see the Lord. I just, you know, when you walk in obedience, you know, I was able to get back into the rest. And I know that, you know, this is my cross. The Lord has had this situation and all these things that have been coming against me, and this roller coaster of in and out of the flesh and just trying to forgive and all that is just, you know, he's just bringing out what's in me that, you know, is unpleasing to him. And, you know, it's just got to be crucified. And he's shown me that the, you know, the end of this trial is very short. So so I'm going to be going to Ohio next week and, you know, to basically take care of this. And I'm believing that once this is done, that the Lord is going to bring a buyer in. And, you know, we're just going to get favor. It's going to close. And, you know, this trial is going to be over. So I just want to bring that out to prayer. So, Father, I just thank you for this trial. I thank you for working in me. I thank you for just exposing my complacency or not wanting to, you know, just ruffle feathers or you know, just, you know, any fear of man or any, you know, fear of getting into unforgiveness or judgment and being chastened. And, Lord, I know that that is something that you're trying to work out of me. And, Lord, we just thank you for just all that, you know, you work everything for our good. And you showed me that this trial is going to be over. And I just thank you for just bringing in a buyer that has the cash or has the financial backing or has the credit to, you know, just take over this property, buy this property. And Lord, it's just, you know, my heart, I just, you know, want to you know, just be rid of this and move on. And so, Lord, I just thank you for that fire. And I call that property to be sold in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I believe with you, brother. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, this is Malcolm here. I know,
hey,
my name,
Malcolm,
doesn't show up that way now. Hi.
No.
My son just asked if we could pray for one of his uncles by the name of Doug Sturgeon. He's about to be evicted something like 10 days or something, him and his kids. And also he's been diagnosed with pituitary. Up in his brain there's a tumor growing that's causing him to start shaking, and I guess pretty threatening. But anyway, they were just wondering if we could pray for him.
Go right ahead, brother. We'll pray with you.
Okay. Yeah, you're. Sounds like you're doing some scuba diving there. But I heard you say that. Lord, I just thank you for your mercy, and I just. And your providence. And I pray for Doug Sturgeon that. I just thank you, Lord, that you have healed every. First of all, Lord, I pray that he come to you. I don't know his relationship with you, I pray that he turn from. Michael, I don't know, folks, I don't know much about him, so but I doubt he's a believer. So, Lord, I just pray that you break through there and at this point I'd go into tongues because I don't know what to pray. But I pray you work these things to move him toward you, Lord, and that he find you completely and devote his life to you. And I just thank you for that. Michael, if you want to pray any different there, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for drawing this man to you. We thank you for granting repentance to him, Lord. We thank you for putting the fear of God on him, Lord, that you've taken him to this place in order for him to cry out to you, Lord. And we ask and we pray that you would send somebody that's full of the Spirit, Malcolm or somebody, that he would listen to about the gospel, the true gospel, the real good news, Lord. And that real good news is that if he accepts the Lord, all the promises in the Word of God are available to him, Lord. And he can believe that this cancer is nothing more than a test. And Lord, we thank you that this fellow, I didn't get his name, but this fellow is drawn to you in a mighty way, and that he's going to be a great child of God, man of God, and he's going to share the testimonies of your grace and your mercy upon his life with the world, Lord, and many people are going to be affected by it. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we just believe it. We're standing in faith for him, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Michael. I'm being a little more careful when I pray for healing. I don't want to be praying something that's not, you know, there's certain rules of engagement that we're starting to understand. So,
amen. Well, he'll be fine. He's going to be saved, and then he's going to be healed. Praise God.
There you go.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Is that all, Malcolm? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't know of him. I'm just praying that my son, you know, our kids are adopted, and my son has made contact with his birth mother and family and all their extended families, and so I've just been praying that for all those folks that they'll become an inroad for the Lord to. Even though my son is not really isn't following the Lord, is not a disciple, I'm just praying that the Lord. Of course, I'm praying, save thy children. You know, I will save thy children. So I'm holding on to that one. But beyond that, I'm also praying for all of his birth family in every direction. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
By the way, Michael and Tim, I was. The other night, I was really intrigued with your discussion on adoption, and Gail telling about her dream, and I heard it after the fact because I wasn't on that night. I just listened to the recording later. So we've been through all that. What they call it, a attachment. It's not detachment. Attachment disorder. And all that goes with that, and it's really something to be a parent in that situation. So,
amen. All right, anyone else? Any testimonies or praise reports or need prayer?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, Judy. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to praise the Lord that... Linda and I got to Indiana safely, no problems. We had a great travel, and everything's going good. You know, I mean, so far, just pray for Melinda that things go good with her daughter that she meets, and things are going fine with me. So, Lord, I thank you so much for all that you're doing for us and that you're keeping us safe and you're keeping us in your hands and that things are going to go good for us. Thank you, Lord, so much.
Yeah. Hey, Judy, y'all
yeah.
saw convoy of military vehicles going up there, a big one?
Yep, two different ones, two different groups.
Oh, yeah? Were they pretty big, pretty long.
Yeah, they were pretty long, and lots of stuff on them, and yeah. Probably, I'm trying to think. Well, it's hard to determine, you know, because they're, and some of them had a couple cars in between them, but they were pretty long, and it was two different bunches. They were in Indiana, the southern part of Indiana.
Okay, were they headed north?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that kind of makes sense. They're converging upon the New Madrid and other fault lines, looks like.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We'll see. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Lord bless y'all. Am I talking loud enough?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. might hear some noise down there. Like he just heard a car pass by me. I'm with my family now. I told you all last week that the Lord told me I could come, and it was because I realized to take care of something at home, in a sense. The Lord just wanted to speak to me concerning this situation, this trial. And all that I've been going through with my husband, and he just wanted to show me some things about that. And I'm with my family now. I was supposed to originally left Friday, but I left Saturday and came and been helping my son and daughter-in-law, and been here with my parents. Doing things with them. Today's their 53rd anniversary. But I'm just really praying that all my family can come Sunday to go out to dinner. I haven't seen my brother and my daughter. Yeah, my brother and sister-in-law and nieces since December. Anyway, and my sister and her family, most of my family, but anyway, I have some really hard things that I need to say to my husband, and I just like to pray concerning that, and also ask y'all to Michael can pray for me. Can pray for me too. Father, I just ask you to bring my family together, Lord, with everything that seems like it's going to happen here soon, and this may be my last chance to see them all. And so I just ask you to work out all the details that all of them can come, even my nephew Brett, work in his heart, Lord. And Lord, work in the hearts of my mom and my sister and my nephew Brett, Lord. They all have some unforgiveness amongst them, and Lord, just work in all their hearts and the fear of you in them, that they would be forgiving of each other, and that you would save all my family, Lord, bring them to repentance, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for hearing me and answering, Lord. Lord, you know the situation with my Lord, and I just ask you to help me to say the things tomorrow that I need to say, and work out all the details, show me the things that I need to do, Lord. Lord, you've even shown me that that I've actually been insane, not intentionally, but I've been insane. And you know what that is, Lord. I don't feel like I can share that, but you know, I'll just kind of and ask you to forgive me, Lord. And so I just ask, Father, that you work out all the details. Much grace, I ask you, Lord, to grant moral repentance, Lord, and to bring him out from among them and to be separate, Lord, come out of sin and to come out from this apostate group, Lord, and I just ask you, Lord, for your mercy and grace upon him and Alex, both, that really you grant Alex repentance too, Lord, and I just, I don't know, Lord, I don't know quite what to pray right now. It's just a really tough situation, you know, Lord, and just give me the strength and the grace and the wisdom, the knowledge and the discernment, and help me to hear your voice, Lord. I want to do exactly what you want me to do and confirm things to me, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're believing with you, Missy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for a mighty miracle here. Okay, anybody else?
Hey, Michael, it's Brandy.
Yeah, Brandy.
Hey, I want to pray for my buddy Steven in Dallas. He's lost. He's using drugs. Has been for the last couple of years. If you'll agree with me.
Yep.
Everyone on here, please. Lord, I lift Steven up to you, my brother Steven. You know he's in straits right now. He's using drugs and he's lost. He's, you know, in fornication and basically homeless. I want to lift him up to you, and just, I know you love him and he knows you. He's just he's lost, and I pray that you will open his eyes, let the scales fall from his eyes, and just fill him with the Spirit. You know he knows you, and he's spoken in tongues before, and he's been filled with the Holy Spirit, but he's just fallen away. And I just want to see him in the kingdom. You know, I want to be there with him. I want him to be there with us, rather. And also, my daughter, I want to lift her up to you as well. I'm believing that you're working on her. I just know it in my heart. I haven't talked to her in almost two and a half years plus, but I know that you're working in her, and I believe that you're going to bring her out of the world and into the kingdom. And I thank you for the manifold trials here, and how you're quickly working in me and others here, and making us bold in your truth and willing to profess your word. And I'm just grateful for everything here. Thank you for getting me out of Dallas and bringing me to life here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Michael, you muted.
Well, I was. I was talking away to somebody. I don't know. Okay, yeah, we believe with you, Brandon. Brandy, and thank you. We're believing with you that this guy is going to be saved. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? You know, I've got a little bit of testimony myself and a prayer that I'd like to pray. Today, I've got a email from my youngest daughter, and she's the one really that has come hardest against me. And when I would try to explain, she would just turn her back, you know, and wouldn't listen. So I'm not listening to you anymore. But today I got an email from her referring to Father's Day, which is Sunday, I guess. You know what?
Do what?
Somebody needs to mute your phone. I think that's Kurt.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right. We forgive you. But anyway, she wanted to know why all of these things have happened the last 4 years, why I came to Tennessee and what the Lord is doing in my life and all of these questions. And before she didn't even want to hear it. And now she's asking about it, which is an eye-opener for me because I've been praying hard for her. She's the one that was actually being 13 years younger than Allison and 15 years younger than Michelle, that she drew kind of close to us because she was growing. She grew up in the church, whereas Allison and Michelle didn't have much chance of that because of my foolishness. But anyway, God has opened up her heart to listen to me now, and that's a good thing. So if y'all would believe with me for Courtney. Father, I lift up Courtney to you. I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in her. I can tell that she's, you've opened up her heart. You softened her heart up to me, Lord, and I praise you for that, and I thank you for it, and I glorify you for it, Lord, because it's such a blessing to be able to explain to her the things that she's asked, Lord. But I ask, Lord, that you give me wisdom and understanding and the words to say that would change her her apathy towards you because of this, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I ask, Lord, that you work in her to draw nigh unto you, Lord, because of the times we're in. Well, Lord, we just thank you for the work that you're doing in her. And I thank you, Lord, that this email that I send back to her, Lord, will be the words that you've given me to give her, Lord. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a mighty miracle here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael?
Yes.
I wanted maybe agreement in prayer, too, probably around the 13th or 18th, I'm not sure. But both of my daughters are going to be, one lives in Savannah, Georgia, and one lives in Tulsa, and they're going to come together in Clarksville, which is about 4.5 hours from here, and they wanted me to come down. And Brandy's on another trip, I guess, God allows him to go, and so he's going to go down there with me. But I just pray that that time would be of the Lord, and that God will put the words in my mouth to say and hold me back on, sometimes how parents are about their children. They want to preach to them and they want to be the ones to pull them in, but I know it has to be the Lord. And so that's another, I'd like for everybody to agree with me on that it would be something that the Lord would be in if he's opened this door for me to be able to see the both of them, and that it'll be a blessed time for them, especially. And I also have 6 grandkids and 3 great-grandkids, so I'm like you and all the others on here. We all want to see our children and our siblings and so forth come into the kingdom. So that's my prayer, too. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, we do. We all want to see them come in Jesus' name. Well, all right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael, I'll share a testimony I just thought about. this weekend, my daughter's father came into town, and he's a what I would call a church Christian. Excuse me. And he came in with a buddy of his and one of his sons, and they showed up at the fellowship on Friday night, which I thought was pretty awesome. And they sat through the praise and worship, and when David started to teach, they kind of got up and ended up leaving early. But I saw the Lord in it because one of them, basically laid his bike down in the driveway And I just kind of saw that as, you know, just kind of a humbling when they were on their way out. And so the next day we ended up, you know, I basically had a little cookout for them and just a time to fellowship. And, you know, I kind of did that for my daughter and have, you know, a couple people over. And it was a good time. But I was, the interesting thing was, is that, you know, they came in with, you know, their full colors of their motorcycle group, and it's the, you know, Christian Motorcycle Association. And what I was seeing was, is, you know, they had lots of Jesus on the outside and not a lot of Jesus on the inside. You know, they were, you know, had all their patches and, you know, little sayings that, you know, we're not perfect, we're just forgiven, and, you know, emblems of fish and emblems of the cross and all this stuff all over their jackets and hats and that. And, you know, and I just saw it as, you know, just where they're at, just, you know, just kind of where the church is at. You know, it's their version of, you know, take up the cross and follow me. You know, they're putting on the cross and not, don't have the understanding of what, you know, taking up the true cross, you know, taking it, carrying your cross. It's kind of, you know, picking up their cross and say, see my cross, and letting everybody see it, how holy they are. And I was really seeing how, you know, just, you know, these, I don't know, these emblems and stuff like that. It's, you know, it's like putting the fish on the back of your Lexus and, you know, say, follow me to Jesus. And I was really thinking about, you know, the Christians that are in Iraq and going through the ISIS checkpoints, you know, how many of them have their, you know, crosses hanging out and their fish, you know, on the bumpers of their car and stuff like that. You know, I said, it's just a apostate, you know, representation of, you know, of the cross. But anyways, they came in, and the interesting thing is when we got together the next day, the friend of theirs that they brought along was just amazed at what he felt in the fellowship the night before. And he said he's never felt love like that. He's never seen openness like that. He's never been in a situation like that, which I thought was just a testimony. And I told him, I says, everything, I said, what you were feeling is Christ. I says, that is Christ right there. You know, that's what the church is supposed to be about. I said, you were just feeling Christ. I mean, it was nothing in us. It was just Christ. So I tried to, you know, he was telling about their association and he can't get anybody to open up and everybody's closed up and they don't want to share testimonies or they don't want to share the struggles that they're in because they feel that they're going to be judged. And, you know, so, you know, I talked to him about that. And I talked to him about, you know, teaching the true gospel and talking about, you know, what it is of judging and what it is to, you know, just start talking about gossip and judging and stuff like that and just getting more truth in that. And, you know, I said, it's just a ploy of the enemy to keep people shut up and, you know, so nobody's praying for them. And, you know, just how God will bring judgment on those who judge. So we talked a little bit, but I could see that, you know, this gentleman was kind of open. I mean, he was just, his eyes were open, he was open, but, you know, my daughter's father was just kind of, you know, caught up and, you know, and he's in a trial right now. He's being chastened and, you know, he's in a tough trial. And I mean, he's a great guy. I love him. And, you know, but I just see that, you know, the Lord's got to shake him. So anyway, so, you know, I was just seeing where I was trying to get into some meat, trying to get into the word, trying to get into some depth, and I just couldn't get there. And at one point, David came over and, you know, he was trying to, you know, I was trying to get a lead in or something going so we can, you know, get into a godly conversation. And, you know, it just wasn't going there. So finally, I got out of, you know, any works or anything like that, and I just decided that I was going to just share testimonies. And I was sitting there, and I shared the testimony about the young lady that I met at Starbucks, and I can't tell that testimony without choking up. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just something, you know, the Lord has really touched me on. And so I shared that testimony, and I got choked up, and I just saw these two weekend warrior bikers with all their colors and that, you know, trying to fight back the tears and trying to act macho and all that. And I just saw tears streaming up in their eyes. You know, it was us. They were doing everything they could to fight back those tears. And I thought it was so awesome, you know, as far as that. But I knew that I really hit the heart of this, you know, this friend that he brought down. I just, his heart was melting, and, you know. And so then right before they left, you know, I gave him a couple books, because I said, if I gave you some truth, would you read it? And he said, yeah. So I gave him a couple books. And then I shared the testimony of David's about the young girl he prayed for that had killed her baby, you know, that had gotten raped and ended up killing the baby in the womb. And David, you know, praying with her and believing and teaching her faith. And when she went in, to the hospital, and she said, you know, they told her that, you know, there's nothing there, there's no heartbeat, you need to have it removed. And she said, no, I don't accept that. And the heart started beating right at that point. And I shared that testimony right when he was leaving, and he was fighting back the tears again. It was awesome. He was just trying to act so macho that I saw his eyes swelling up. And so I think, you know, just through testimony, and, you know, I was just even sharing other people's testimonies, I just saw where it was just melting the hearts of these guys and showing the power of God. And it was, you know, it turned out to be an awesome thing. To the point where this friend that they brought down asked me before he left to start looking for houses in the area because he wanted to move to this area, which I thought was very interesting. And the other thing I found out is after they left that my daughter's, Kiana's dad, they were sleeping in a tent outside their house, and his friend woke up, and, you know, Bob was sleeping, and he was speaking in another language in his sleep. So I think the Lord's working on him, you know, and which I thought was awesome. And so I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to be praying and believing for him. So, Father, I just lift up Bob and Tom, Lord, and Lord, they, you know, they're professing you, Lord, and they, you know, they're just kind of caught up in the system of man. And, Lord, I just ask that you just use those books, Lord, that you'll draw them to them, that their eyes will be open, that they will see the truth, and the truth will set them free, Lord. Father, I just pray for their true conviction, Lord. Father, that they will just have a change of mind and not, you know, be showing Jesus on the outside, but just walking with Jesus on the inside, that they're going to crucify self and who they are and come into the fullness of you and just be used mightily, and that they're going to be used, you know, if you keep them in that, you know, in that biker group, that they can be used of you to bring others that are lost to the truth, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you for their salvation. We just praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Got anything I'd like to share? Just anything. We'll just open up the floor. All right. Well, nobody want to share anything they got? What's the Lord showing you? Let's see. You know, one thing that the Lord's been showing us here through our prayer in the mornings is showing us that the John the Baptist ministry is in full swing, it looks like. And we don't know, you know, who is in the John the Baptist ministry, but it's those that are out there declaring that Jesus is coming. And of course, we all know that Jesus is coming in his man-child ministry, coming into his people. The people that have this... Go ahead, Tim. What's the matter? Am I messing up?
You're breaking up. So you just popped out of it, so I don't know what...
Okay. Give me a... Can you take over and let me get out and come back in?
Okay. All right, so, Michael's restarting. Does anybody else have anything, any dreams, anything the Lord's shown you, anything that's on your heart? I'll share another testimony. I had my sister call me, and I think I shared a little bit about this, but she had called, and she's taking care of my mom, and you know, I was talking to her because it's really becoming a trial on her. You know, my mom's fallen out of bed a couple times a night, and she hit her head the other night, and a lot of different things. And, you know, my sister's got like a guilt on her, like she has to, you know, take care of my mom. And but what's happening is that it's becoming an issue. It's starting to, you know, divide her and her husband, and it's becoming, you know, just too much on them. And I've been telling her that, you know, you really, you know, you've done what you can with my mom, and you really got to, you know, think about, you know, putting her in the nursing home, and, you know, that's what the nursing homes are for, and that, and you can't allow it to, you know, cause issues in your life and that. And, you know, so I was trying to point her to the Word and give her a little bit of truth in that. So I do want to pray for her. You know, because she is just, I can tell she's stressed out. She's got a lot on her plate right now. So, Father, I just lift up my sister to you, and I just thank you for working in her, Lord, and drawing her to you. Lord, I know that at one point in her life that you appeared to her, and she was, you know, she was excited for you, and but she's fallen into the world and the lusts of the world and the addictions of the world and, you know, running after, you know, prosperity and just doesn't have the fullness of you, Lord. So, Father, I just pray for her salvation, that you'll give her a change of mind, that you'll just grant her repentance, that you'll just give her a hunger for your truth, Lord. And we thank you for working in her, Lord, and using the situation to bring her into your fullness. So, anyways, while she was on the phone with me, she was telling me that, you know, my mom's house, my niece went over there to cut the grass, and she ended up, you know, she was working in the yard and ended up going into the home. And while she's in the home, she hears things being moved around on the shelves. She hears the doors slam in the back bedroom, and none of the windows were open or anything like that. There was no wind or any reason for it. And then she looked over. My mom's got an organ in her house, and she sees the bench for the organ move. And so she goes running out of the house and down the street and, you know, calling her mom and saying, "Get me out of here." And my nephew, when he was there cutting the grass one day, he looked in the garage, and there was a man standing in the garage, and he walked into the house, and he got freaked out over that. So, you know, basically, this is the same house that I was up at and found a Ouija board in the closet and ended up, you know, burning that Ouija board. But when I, you know, when I was taking that Ouija board out of the house, I had a demon jump on my back, and just got totally slimed by, you know, by a demon, and I was just rebuking the demon and, you know, got it off of me. I believe I I probably didn't pray over the house. I mean, we were on our way out, and you know, I thought I might have prayed for the house, but apparently, you know, there's an open door there. So I just told my sister, I said, you know what? I said, those aren't ghosts. Those are nothing but demons. And, you know, when I come up there, you know, I'll take care of them. And it was kind of neat because she, you know, I could hear there was like kind of a little relief in her voice. And she's like, oh, I knew you'd say something like that. And, you know, because I was telling her, it's no big deal. Don't be afraid. But I just see it as an open door for me to, you know, share with my nieces and nephews when I go up there. And it's an open door to, you know, talk about the, you know, spiritual warfare and the authority of Christ. So I just see it as that. And, you know, I know we've got all authority, you know, over these principalities and powers. But, you know, it's just kind of neat where, you know, when you've got the truth, there's no fear there. And when you know it's not ghosts, it's just demons, it's just spirits, and we wrestle not against, you know, these principalities and powers. But, you know, even, you know, my sister, whose kids these are, I mean, she goes to church every Sunday in a Catholic church, but they have no idea about, you know, spirits, spiritual warfare, demons, anything like that. So I really think it's an opportunity, you know, when I do go up there. So I think it's just the Lord setting the stage. So I just, I'm going to pray for that. Father, I thank you that you're opening up this door to talk about deeper things of the Word, you know, the spirits and spiritual warfare and ghosts and demons. And Lord, that you guide me as far as how far to go, what I need to say. We just pray that you just open the hearts of my nieces and nephews, that you open the hearts of my sisters, that they will hear the truth, Lord, and they will see your truth, and they will, you know, that truth will just give them a hunger for you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Can you hear me okay now?
Right now, you sound great.
Okay, well, I went out and restarted, so maybe it'll be okay. Lord, we thank you that the communication problem has been fixed, been repaired, and it's going to be okay from now on. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, what was I talking about long ago? Child of Baptist ministry.
Michael, you're breaking up again. So.
Man. Okay, can you hear me now?
You just came back in.
Okay, I'll just put my nose up here on the screen. That might be what the problem is. But anyway, as I was saying a while ago, I don't know if y'all caught it or not, in our prayer meetings in the mornings, we've been getting a lot of verses on John the Baptist ministry and also the people that have, some of the people that have left will be coming back. That type of thing, and also the man-child anointing, and so it's getting kind of, looks like the Lord is ramping things up, and hopefully this thing will start soon. You know, we were talking today, David and I, and he mentioned the fact that he said, "Wonder who the Moses is going to be that goes against Pharaoh in the type and the shadow." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, who's it going to be that goes up against Obama and to let my people go?" I said, "Oh, okay, the ones that are in the FEMA camp." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, that'd be awesome to watch that." I said, "Yeah, it would." And we took it from there and went just all over the place. And it was kind of interesting the way we talked about it, because everything that has been will be again, as the Word says in Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. So whatever happened back in Moses' time is probably going to happen again. And even, you know, you got to think about it just a moment. Pharaoh could have, you'd think that Pharaoh would have taken his army and said, "Who is this guy Moses coming up in here in my place? You know, trying to tell me what I got to do. Somebody go out there and whack that guy." Apparently somebody, God had put the fear of God in Pharaoh against Moses or for Moses. And he couldn't. Has anybody ever thought about that? Ever thought about why Pharaoh didn't just slap Moses down, you know? Well, he couldn't to begin with, because God's anointing was upon him. And if his anointing is on you, wherever you are, whatever thing that you're doing, and you're believing in faith with God, and you're right in God's will, there ain't nothing going to happen to you. It can't happen to you, because God's got you back. And we just kind of took that and ran with it today, and it was kind of interesting the way we talked about things and what's going to happen, you know. Translations, you know, somebody had a dream of the 144 persons that will be anointed, and they saw the anointing, and one of them had wings. And I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, maybe it's the guy that's going to be translated here and yon and there to rescue people. You know, you don't know whatever God's got in mind." So it's just real interesting. And I had a good time talking with David about it. And we just kind of let our minds go wild with us for a few minutes. And so I thought I'd just bring out, has anybody got anything they'd like to add to what we're talking about?
Now, when you were saying that, go ahead.
I just was going to say, I've been, what you're saying right now stirs something that the Lord's put in my heart for basically my whole walk. I've carried some things in my spirit that I just believe to see. And, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart that Mount Carmel was not just a thing of the past, but that it was going to happen. It was going to happen on a broad scale in the latter times, and that God was going to have a people that stood against, and that God would demonstrate mightily against the false gods of this world, his power, and against the false prophets of this world. And I've always been amazed that one man with, I have to say this. I had a dream last night. I won't go into detail, except to say that in this dream was this brother that I know personally, and all I want to say is that everywhere he goes, well, God's saying this, and then he'll go and do something else, and God sent me here, and it's all baloney. There's no fruit behind it. It's basically tagging on all of his instability, tagging God's name to sort of justify it. But God's going to have a people that have been with God, that have a word from God. You know, it says, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. That was a specific word for a specific man at a specific time and a specific place. A man with a word from God, that word, I believe, too much in Christendom is thrown around. Well, the Lord spoke, the Lord said, the Lord spoke and the universe exists. And it's not that he doesn't speak, but much of what's going on nowadays, it's used too lightly. The word of God. God said in the universe exists. God, the word of God. And I believe that when we in this hour, there's going to be people that have the word of God. One man walks up to Ahab with a word from God, and it wasn't, you don't know anything about Elisha the Tishbite, except that when he spoke, God backed up what he said, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, there shall no rain fall on this earth but by my word." He says this to the king, the wicked king that's got 850 false prophets working with him. And he walks off into the sunset. But he had a word that was back from heaven, a word that God had spoken. And when he finally stood on Mount Carmel, he walks up to Ahab and goes, "Gather all Israel together." After 3.5 years of drought where they're hunting this guy all over the place, he comes up and says, "Now gather Israel to me at Mount Carmel, all of Israel." And he didn't go, "Hey, I have a suggestion." He said, "Do it." And the king went and got all Israel together at Mount Carmel. I mean, that guy had a word from God. And when he stood on Mount Carmel, and when he was mocking the false prophets, you cannot mock a bunch of guys with a sword unless you got the word of the Lord. And this man says, "Hey, where's your God? See, Nine-Night? Maybe you better go wake him up. Maybe you got to go check. Maybe he went on a journey somewhere." You know, he's mocking, and the fire hadn't fallen on his altar yet. but he had the word that came from God, a word from the Almighty. And when he spoke, he said, "And now, Lord God, let this people know that you are God alone, and that they have forsaken thee and served other gods, and that I am thy servant and have done all of these things according to thy word." That was Rhema with capital letters. It wasn't I have this impression in my heart. That's nice. But brothers, when God speaks, it will happen. And when Daniel speaks to the, you know, when Nebuchadnezzar builds, you know, he has this dream, he's troubled deeply by his dream. And he comes to the people, he says, "I'm troubled by this dream. I forgot what the dream is, but I want the dream and the interpretation. And anybody that doesn't give it to me, I'm going to cut them in pieces." I mean, that's not for the fluffy guys. That's not for the guys with the false prophets. That's not somebody that's got an impression. Brother, you better have the word of God or you're not going to be in the ballpark in that thing. And Daniel sought the Lord and he says, "Hey, tell the king there's a God in heaven." And he goes out there and the guy says, "You're going to give me the dream and the interpretation?" He says, "Yes, here's your dream. I'll tell you all about it." And brother, that was a man with a word from God. And kings, under Daniel, kings bowed the knee to the God of Daniel. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, anybody that won't bow before my statue that I have built, anybody that won't bow the knee, we're going to be cut in peace. He says, "I'm going to burn them in this fiery furnace." And finally, it comes to the king. There's three Hebrews that are not bowing the knee to your statue. He comes up to them, and he was filled with madness. He says, "Is it true you're not going to bow?" He says, "We're not careful to answer you in this matter, O king. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But whether he delivers us or not, we will not bow." And he was just, countenance was changed. He was furious. He commanded the fire to be built seven times hotter until the men that were building it died doing it. And then they threw him in that furnace. They went in there and they see him walking around. All these guys, we threw three men bound in there. What do we see? Four men walking around and they're free. They're not bound. And they came out without the smell of smoke on them. And he says, anybody that doesn't bow before the God of Daniel, he says, will be cut in pieces and their houses made a dunghill. That was a man with a word from God, with a man that had been with God, that commendation of the Almighty was upon him. Kings were, and the same with the fiery furnace, you know, the lion's den, when those men accused Daniel, and he didn't change his countenance one bit. He bowed before the God of heaven, and he didn't fear man one bit. And they threw him in the lion's den, and the king came in the morning with a lamentable voice and said, "O Daniel, servant of the Most High God, was thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee?" And he says, "Yes, God has shut the mouths of the lions because it's in his angel to deliver me because innocency was with me." But the point I'm making in, and the men, then they took those men that accused Daniel, they threw them in that fiery furnace, in that lion's den. And it says before one of them touched the bottom, them and their families, the lions had mastery over them and broke every bone in their body, tore them to pieces with the fury of God. And I'll tell you, I tell you something, those men were able to bring kings into brokenness before the Almighty God. To where Darius says, "I, Darius, make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men fear and tremble before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God, steadfast forever, his kingdom, that which cannot be destroyed, his dominion even to the end, who rescues and delivers and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." He said, you bow before the God of Daniel. And brother, we don't need men with, the world is so sick of religion. This world, America's got so much religious bull. There's so many people in the business of religion, making a living at religion. And God is not going to let this thing go down with this mockery of his name that goes on. He's going to bring down the false. But there's going to be a people that will glow in the dark and walk on water. There's going to be a people, brother, that have the word of God. And kings will end up bowing the knee before the God of heaven because they have the word of God, not a word. They're men that can say, thus saith the living God, before whom I stand. The disobedient prophet, they call him, that spoke to Jeroboam, and he reached out his hand against him. He prophesied about that there would be a man, even Josiah. He prophesied 100 years before Josiah was born, that there was going to be a man who was going to burn the bones of the false prophets on this very altar. And he's speaking something. He has the word of God, and Jeroboam reaches out for him, and his hand turns leprous. And, I mean, that's the kind of signs and anointing that's going to take. These guys, they've heard it all. They see religion everywhere. Everybody in America has seen such a gross misrepresentation of Christ because there's so many people making a living at it. And there's so many people compromised because the bucks are not in speaking the truth, but in compromise. And they've seen it all. But brothers, they haven't seen the real thing. And God is not going to let this go down, this system of things, as it were, go down without the witness of Christ. There will be in every kingdom the witness of the Almighty, and men will know that there is a God in heaven. And there will be a people, brother, that walk in a way that they're not going to give an opinion. They're not going to give their latest inspiration. They're going to be speaking because they've been with God. They've got the word of God, and that's all it takes. One man with the word of God can bring a nation to its knees, can bring a king on the ground before the God of heaven. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, it says in the scripture, Elisha was a man subject to like passions as we are. And yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the whole earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He says that to say God is no respecter of persons, and what he did through this man, he can do through you. One man, he prays, and heaven is shut up for 3.5 years. On the whole earth, not one drop of rain. That is a man that's heard from God. That is a man that's not got a fluffy opinion. It's a man that's got, has been in a deep and divine encounter with the Most High God, and God trusts him with the mantle of his anointing, with the spirit without measure. That's going to be a people that God has in this hour. Are you one of those people? Are you hungry enough for the Lord that you say, Lord God, I want to see your holy name vindicated. I want to see your holy name righteously represented. I want to see the wickedness that's manifesting itself and coming in like a flood brought to naught because of the Almighty. Are you a person that hungers enough that you say, it doesn't matter, Lord, I don't need to be the man on Mount Carmel, but Lord, vindicate your holy name, rise up in your people, glorify your name, vindicate your holy name, mighty God. When it becomes a cry, when the Lord Jesus tipped over the money changers' tables and cast out the let the doves free and did that whole number in the temple, he said, the zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up. Is there anybody that has that cry in their heart, that move in their spirit that says, Father, the zeal of your house, they've turned your house into a den of thieves, Lord God. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. They've turned it into a den of thieves. Is your heart moved with that spirit of God, that the zeal of my Father's house consumes me, that you're moved deeply and deeply in your spirit? Because it's going to be that kind of a heart, that kind of a cry that comes from the Spirit of God in a man and in a group of people that are going to bear an anointing that's not been seen ever before. There's going to be a people, and I'm talking about in man. Jesus Christ had the Spirit without measure. But brother, these last days, the glory of the latter house will exceed the glory of the former house. He saved the best wine for last. This is an hour when God's going to manifest himself. He's going to vindicate his holy name. Are you a part of that people? Are you a part of them? Are you willing? Are you willing to so identify yourself with the Lord as to be so yielded that the Holy Ghost can carry that burden within you? The zeal of my Father's house has consumed me.
Well, that's a good question we need to be asking each other, asking ourselves, you know. How bad do you want Jesus? How bad do you want to get next to Jesus? I want to see these miracles. I want to see Jesus. I want to go to the throne room, sit up in his lap, and listen to the mysteries of the ages coming from his lips. Praise God. Thank you, Michael. That was awesome. Are we going to be disciples? Matthew 28:19, and says, "And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know, Jesus wasn't going to be with them on earth there much long, was he? Much longer after that. And he was talking about those disciples who's going to go forth and who teach others to observe, what did he say? All things whatsoever I commanded you. That's not what these foolish prophets of Baal have been teaching in the churches here the last 2,000 years. There's been a remnant here and there that they have sought the throne room of God, sought the correct words from God, assembled and studied the word of God until the truth came out to them. We have to be diligent in that and believe and accept the faith that God has given us and utilize it and act on it. Some of us, maybe right here in this group right here, are going to be caught up to the throne, just like the prophets of old were, the men of old were, just like Moses was, just like Joshua was, just like Jesus was. Some of us may right here in this group right here go, but you have to be desiring God above all. Everything in your life is not as important as going after the Lord right now. In Jude chapter 3, it says, "Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." We need to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's what Jesus taught. Not what the preachers are teaching, but what Jesus taught. He said one of the things that Jesus told them, the first disciples, Mark 16:17, and he said, these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. Well, he said that to the disciples so that those disciples would know who a real disciple was. He says in Mark 16:14, "And afterward he was manifested unto the 11 themselves as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." Well, you know, they didn't do that at that time. So he had to have been talking to all of us right then. Right then and there, he was talking to every disciple of his throughout the ages. In verse 16, "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." It doesn't say they might recover. It doesn't say they might lay hands on the sick. It says they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so we can see what Jesus was doing there. He was telling people how to identify who the disciples really were. You know, we're not to receive anything but the commandments that Jesus gave to the first disciples. The church hadn't done that in the last 2,000 years. They hadn't held fast to the commands that were given, that Jesus gave to the first disciples. In Luke 10 and 16, it says, "He that heareth you heareth me, and he that rejecteth you rejecteth me. And he that rejecteth me rejecteth him that sent me." And you know it. The church has rejected God's word. You know, the thing that I always prayed about early on and kept praying it was, "Lord, please don't allow me to be deceived." And you know, he's been real faithful in doing that. He's got me all through all that denominational mess and took me out of that and finally just set me down and started teaching me himself. And it's just been awesome when you do that. But you have to want to. You have to want Christ more than anything else in your life. You have to want Christ more than your family, more than your wife, more than your husband, more than your daughter, more than your son. He wants to be uno numero one. I don't know how they talk like that. You know, he wants to be number one in your life. And he's going to have a people that does that. And on up into the 18th verse of Luke 10, he says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven." Here's the kicker right here. Here's the one that ought to make you shout. "Behold, I have given you authority," which is the right to use power, "to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." It didn't say some of the power of the enemy. It said all the power of the enemy. "And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." He gave them this authority, and he commanded them to teach the disciples to observe or to hold fast everything that he spoke to them. And that's what we're supposed to be doing today. We don't have any authority to do anything else but to share with the disciples what the Lord has given us as benefits and as an inheritance. Praise be to God. Glory be to God. We just have to walk in the authority that Jesus gave us 2,000 years ago. It's still available to us today, and all we have to do is just accept it, receive it by faith, and walk in it. Praise be to God. Michael, you're right. There's going to be people that are going to be walking just like Moses. There's going to be walking just like Jesus. They're going to be commanding things. You know, people won't dare lay hands on them because they know if they do, God's going to smack them. But it's for the freedom of the saints that they have held in captivity. People, you know, the church today is in captivity. They're in so much bondage now. My goodness. The denominational churches. But God is going to shake them. And he's going to get their eyes focused on him. And they're going to see the light of the true gospel. And that's going to save them and their families. And that's what's going to save our families, probably mostly, is the shaking. That shaking comes in, man. When your feet start shaking and you ain't nothing, nowhere to run, you're going to start crying out to God. Or the finances fail. Or any number of things that are happening. I don't know what's going to happen with this Jade Helm thing, but looks like they're getting ready to take over. But it doesn't make any difference. They can't take over God's people who are walking in his will. Ain't no way. That's not going to happen. So we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, not on these things that are happening around us. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment about or share? I just believe we're coming into a time of the greatest miracles of God that the world has ever scene. And I sure want to be a part of it. And I praise God for the people that we have around us that want the same thing. It's an awesome privilege to serve this God who has so much grace and so much mercy upon us. He didn't have to do any. Look, He chose you out of all the people in the world. He chose you to be one of His chosen, one of His elect. And if He chose you to be one of His elect, what you going to do with it? You got to run with it. Praise God. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to add? Well, what about prayers? Anybody got anything they'd like to pray about? Well, Father, I just I want to pray for everybody in here tonight. I want to pray, Lord, that You would place it in their hearts to hunger for You, Lord, more than anything else. Nothing else matters, Lord. The idols don't matter anymore. We're coming to a place, Lord, where we're going to have to trust You, Lord. And I ask that You clean us up and get us where You want us quickly, Lord, in a mighty quick way. Show us those things that have hindered our walk, Lord, so that we can repent of them and get back on that road to Mount Carmel and Mount Zion. Father, we praise You for that. We thank You, Lord, that You're going to give us all bold faith to believe Your word and not worry about what we see in the natural, because, Lord, the things that are coming upon us, if you worry about what you see around it, you're going to fall. We're going to fall, Lord, if we don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that You're going to protect us. And I thank You, Lord, that You're placing that in us. You're placing all of that in us. And Father, those that are on here that may be on some kind of medication, Lord, I ask and I pray that You put it in their heart to believe Your promises, because the medication is not going to be available to them in the days ahead. And those that are storing up food, Lord, you know, they stored it up food out there in the desert. And within 3 days' time, they'd gone through it. So we can't store up anything. We can't do anything but believe and trust in You, Lord. And I ask that You place that in our hearts to do that. We cannot want to be able, Father, to run down to Walmart. Because first thing You're going to do, you know, is take away the money. Promise. We're not going to be able to do that, but You're going to be able to provide for us just like You did the people out there in the desert. You provided for them for 40 years out there, Lord. I mean, there was people out there walking around in Nikes they brought out in the desert with them, Lord, and they didn't never rot. No, I'm using that, Lord, but You know what I'm talking about. You're going to do the same thing for us, Father. We don't have to worry about these things. I don't want to have to worry about water, because You can put a rock out there and let water flow out of it. That'll satiate millions. And I thank You, Father, for Your mighty miracles that You're going to do in the days ahead. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. You're so mighty, Lord. You know, it just, my mind can't comprehend, can't wrap around Your grace and Your mercy upon our lives, especially mine, Lord. But I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, and I praise You for it, Lord, because You're worthy of our praises. You're so worthy of our praises, Lord. I mean, we can stumble around here on this earth and try to get rid of this flesh, and we fail. We have a victory here, and we fail over here. We have a victory here, and we're over here, but Lord, You're keeping us on the run. You're keeping us going forward. And that's Your grace and Your mercy doing that, Lord. And I praise You for it. I just ask, Lord, in a mighty way, that You give me faith for everybody in here that would run after You, Lord, like the Shulamite bride did. Nothing else matters but You, Father. Nothing else matters. You're the one that gives us the wherewithal to protect us and to provide and to deliver and to heal. And all of those things, Lord, come straight from you. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you for these wonderful men and women, Lord, that share the testimonies that you have given them, Lord. And your glory that would be upon them in the days ahead. That they'd be a light and a beacon to the world out around them, Lord. I praise you for that. You don't have to do anything, Father, but you do because you love us. And you're not going to let us go. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, I've got a real quick testimony before we climb or leave out.
Yeah,
is, go ahead. Last week, we ended up, the Lord put on my heart to pray for Holly, and you know, I ended up praying for her, and she just happened, she was listening to another day's broadcast. You know, she decided she was up and, you know, at night, and she was going to listen to the broadcast, and she listened to it, and she fell asleep, and it went through that broadcast, and then went into the next one, and she said she woke up in the middle of the night, right when, you know, to hear me say, let's pray for Holly. And she knew that the Lord woke her up to hear that prayer. And she said that really helped her faith, you know, knowing that we're all entering in agreement with her. And then she was sharing, you know, the, you know, that she's had like two separate, you know, like steps where, you know, she's just, her lungs have opened up and she can breathe better. And she was sharing how, you know, it seems like she gets attacked at the same time, like 4 o'clock in the morning. And the other night she was, you know, had a heaviness on her chest and that, and she just started, you know, just taking authority and out loud saying, you know, get off my land, get off me, and just rebuking the enemy. And she said the enemy, you know, fled. And you know, which is awesome. She ended up, you know, waking up Kevin in the middle of the night because of her boldness. But she just got bold and the enemy fled. And it was awesome. So, you know, it was just a great testimony that the Lord woke her up at that time and helped her build her faith. And she knew that, you know, just a lot of people were just coming together in faith for her. And so I thought it was kind of neat that her father loves her so much that he woke her up for that prayer. So,
thank you, Lord.
And Father, we continue to put our faith together for Holly. We know that, you know, this battle is already over, that she's already victorious, that she was healed at that cross, and we stand in faith with her, and we just thank you for the manifestation, and we thank you for all you're doing in her. We just thank you that those lungs are totally restored, totally opened up. And her breathing is free and clear and no pain or no coughing. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. And we just thank you and stand in faith with her. Amen.
Amen. Little quick note here. Last night I was awakened at 3:21 by three knocks. 1, 2, 3. The first thought that came to my mind was knock and the door will be opened unto you. And we've had that, quite a few people have had that, heard that knock at night around here anyway. Merlene's heard it, Belinda's heard it, and now I've heard it. And I think, Missy, did you hear it while you were here or something?
Yeah, it wasn't while I was here. It was, last fall, I believe it was. I'm not quite sure. It was some, I'm pretty sure it was last fall. I'm not absolutely positive, but yeah, I was having this dream. I didn't remember what it was, but I heard this knock, knock, knock. It was like a three knock thing. Yeah, like you just said.
Yep.
And then I said it's the Lord, you know. And then I woke up. It was so real. It was like it was in my right ear. And I just, like, turned to my right, kind of like, you know, yeah, it was so real.
All right. Well,
amen.
Thank you, Lord, for knocking on the door.
Amen.
Father, we ask that you bless everybody tonight with a good night's sleep and dreams, Lord, of you. And we praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for Thursday night's conference call. And it's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord, without any communications problems whatsoever. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Good night, everybody. God bless you.